The greatest luxury adventures on earth. Abercrombie and Kent.
Robot Building Supplies. They've got it and deliver. Robotbuildingsupplies.com.au.
On SEN, Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Thanks for joining me. Big hour coming up. David Davidovic, Herald Sun Chief Soccer Writer, to give us the soccer landscape worldwide. Looking forward to that. We'll check in with Matty Keenan as well. Yet another day in isolation for Matty. We'll find out what he's up to keep himself sane. Heard from Tom Rockliffe in isolation earlier on today. That's generated some activity on the Speckle text as well. 0433981116 on the Speckle text. Speckle cash loans up to $2,000 paid fast. And if you want to jump on the phone, the open line for Werribee Kia, and they are still open for business at Werribee Kia. All Kia dealerships are open for business. Top dollar paid for all trade-ins. And if you're in the market for a new car, drop down to Werribee Kia and tell them we sent you. 1-300-736-736. Before David Davidovic, Rod in Listerfield. Hello, Rod.
Hi, Dwayne. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, good. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, mate. Mate, I've just given you a call. I'm a Mighty Blues supporter, but I couldn't be more proud of Chris Scott, of his recognition of what's going on in society. He's a true leader, mate. It's no wonder he's a leader of an AFL club. I think we should all be proud of him. He embodies leadership and the Aussie spirit by doing what he's done. And I just, mate, I just absolutely love him for what he's done.
A nice call. And as I said at the top of the program, there are a lot of people who, what happens the next 3 months will be remembered by the way they handle the next 3 months. And I'm not just talking about guys like Gil McLaughlin and Scott Morrison and Daniel Andrews, but, you know, guys like Patrick Dangerfield, who are the leaders of the Players Association, and guys like Chris Scott, who are looked up to as leaders of the community, absolutely. So it is a nice gesture, and I think he's in a situation where he can do that, which is fantastic for him. Not everybody is in a situation where they can make that same gesture. So I think we also need to understand that as well. But Alistair Clarkson hasn't announced today, but it's been reported today that he's also taking a pretty hefty pay cut to help his club through this. Thanks for your call, Rod. I really appreciate that. Plenty of texts coming through still on people that are known for one particular incident in their life. Bob Hawke has been one. Cheers from Bill. Bob Hawke, any boss who sacks you for taking a day off after the America's Cup victory, you can still see him now making that call, sitting back with that crazy jacket on, as I can. Cheers, Bill. Thanks for that text being sent in. David Davidovic's been good enough to join me here at some Chief Soccer Writer. David, great to have you. I really appreciate you jumping on the phone.
Always a pleasure, Dwayne.
A-League, they could have announced a Premier's plate. They're still holding out some hope that they're going to get a little bit more of the season and the finals series away.
Yeah, correct. There's only about five rounds to go. The clubs have got anywhere from 3 to 6 games left. So what they've announced at the moment is that they've postponed until April 22, and then they'll reassess. But realistically, the season will not be restarted until, your guess is as good as mine. We're talking months. But they will do everything in their power to try and play out the season, considering they are so close to the finishing line. There is still, of course, the final series to be played out. The grand final is due to be played in mid-May. So, yeah, as I said, they'll do everything in their power. Obviously, there's all sorts of contractual obligations, particularly with Fox Sports and the TV revenue associated with that, which is, you know, the absolute lifeblood of the game at the moment. And, probably a reason why the A-League, like the NRL, were so reluctant to stop the season.
So the NBL didn't complete their full season, didn't complete the grand final series. The Wildcats were up 2-1, so they did get handed the title. The AFLW season wasn't completed. They didn't hand the title to Fremantle, who technically they could have if they wanted to. If we don't get any more season in the A-League, I presume they'll hand the Premier's plate to Sydney FC?
Possibly. Look, I think that's something that, again, they will make that determination as late as they possibly can. I don't think they'll make that call for at least another few months, Dwayne. Sydney FC at the moment, they're 8 points ahead of Melbourne City, but they've got 3 games in hand. So I don't think there would be too many complaints if that call was eventually made. Always an interesting talking point, the first past the post versus the final series. Of course, the A-League is one of the few football leagues or soccer leagues around the world that actually has a final system. So a lot of the soccer purists, I don't think, will be too disappointed if Sydney FC are crowned eventual champions. And certainly for Asian Champions League purposes, the first past the post is the champion so far as AFC regulations and qualifications go. So, but as I said, they will do everything they can to try and play out the season. So, the decision could be made as late as, June, July. And I don't think there's any reason why they can't stretch the season out if they can get some football in. Of course, if, the whole coronavirus can be contained and controlled because, obviously, all the leagues around the world have been postponed. So it's not as if the players are, will be in a hurry to move on to their next contracts or their next clubs.
Aren't they still playing in Belarus?
I'm not sure. The World Leagues Forum, as at yesterday, had every league postponed. And I reckon Belarus is on there. I'm just looking at the country codes here. Belgium's been postponed. What's Belarus? It'd be BLR. I'm trying to find it. I reckon they have been.
All right. Well, I'll double check as well whilst we're going.
I'll get on to my Belarusian sources, Blake.
Yeah, do that. All right, find that out for me because I'm curious to know. I think a couple of days ago they were still playing. So what about if we have 2 or 3 months off, what about the international players? Will they all still be here? Will they all still be available if the season resumes?
Yeah, it's a really interesting point, and it's case by case. Some players have indicated that they would like to return home. Obviously, with, the travel restrictions, it's getting harder to, get out of Australia and return to various countries around the world. The airline prices are going up by the minute. So some players certainly have indicated they'd like to leave, and I don't think clubs will be standing in their way. And then there's obviously the contractual difficulties, because the A-League players are in fact contracted until the end of May. So thereafter, there's all sorts of visa implications. They've only got several weeks thereafter, with bridging visas and whatnot to stay in the country. So, look, all sorts of permutations, which are a little bit different to the AFL and NRL because of the international elements connected to the A-League. But, it's a case of watch this space.
And what about internationally? Which countries are in positions where they can resume playing sooner than others? I presume there are some countries where it's highly unlikely. But there are so many players from different countries spread around in other countries as well. Every different situation is so unique. And that's why in Australia we went so late as well. That's why in Belarus I think they might still be playing as of yesterday. But the bizarre part is there won't be one universal opportunity here. How can you have a Champions League if there are some countries whose players are unavailable?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. These intercontinental competitions, they're the ones that will clearly be the last to resume. I mean, the Asian Champions League here domestically or, throughout Asia kicked off. Victory played a couple of games. Perth Glory, I think, only had one game in the end. Sydney FC, a couple. But, those competitions, I mean, you cannot see them, recommencing. I wouldn't have thought in this calendar year. UEFA Champions League and the Europa League have been postponed indefinitely. So obviously the individual competitions are the ones that will resume quicker. I think it'll come down to which countries have reacted quickest, Dwayne. So obviously it started in China. They've been able to react quicker. So you dare say, and all the talk is that China, for all intents and purposes, has resumed some form of normality in terms of life. So you'd imagine that their competition may be able to kick off sooner rather than later. The Japanese J-League, they started their season, of course, Ange Postecoglou being over there. I think they played one round of football. Now, they've got, like all leagues around the world, they're waiting, but they're talking about mid-April or May 1 as a possible date to resume. So I reckon they will definitely be ahead of the curve. But a lot of those European competitions, I mean, the Premier League, I think they're talking about sometime in June. But, you know, looking at, you know, where it's at over in Europe and even in the UK, I mean, it's going to get worse before it gets better. And, you know, certainly over in Japan and China and speaking to people over there, I mean, the people are just so disciplined and you know, with all the lockdowns and whatnot, they have been so strictly enforced. So, you know, I think the worst has passed. But over in the UK, the worst is yet to come. So I can't see the Premier League resuming in the next few months. And obviously the international competitions, you know, the Euros have been postponed until 2021, as well as the Copa America. They were due to be played in June. And yes, the Olympics were meant to have the men's and the women's competitions as well, which will be affected. So yeah, it's, I mean, really a wait and see, as it is with all sorts of sports, Lane. But yeah, I think China and Japan will certainly be the first cabs off the rank in terms of resumption. And perhaps Belarus.
Yeah, they might be able to lure some players over there. The A-League's deal TV-wise, David, how is it now? And where's that landscape? Has it changed a little, or do you see it changing?
I think those negotiations are taking place as we speak. So they signed a six-year deal with Fox Sports, which was worth in excess of $300 million. I think we're in year three. So, yeah, look, I think like all the sports, these contracts, you know, are being reviewed as we speak. And, yeah, I mean, the ratings haven't been great this year for the A-League, Dwayne. So, you know, there's been all sorts of rumours about, you know, Fox Sports' position and, you know, perhaps being open to, you know, to selling the rights or offloading it in some way, shape or form. So, yeah, there'll be discussions going on as we speak about those rights. I mean, the A-League has fulfilled, you know, a large part of its commitments in terms of being so close to the end of the season. But, you know, if the season isn't completed, then I'm sure the, you know, the legal eagles may be going over, you know, the fine print of those contracts. But, look, it's all just, you know, so unprecedented, and you know, everyone's guessing at the moment, but certainly these discussions will be taking place over coming days and weeks.
We've heard from a few AFL clubs in the last couple of days, just reconfirming North Melbourne yesterday that they're safe, that they'll be continuing on, they won't go broke and be handing us a 17 team season, same as St Kilda today. How and the NBL again confirming today that even though it looks likely that every team is going to be safe, they can't be 100% guaranteeing that their safety is assured. How's the A-League teams? Is there a couple of A-League team or an A-League team that might be in danger? And where's that put expansion at?
Yeah, well, expansion will absolutely be on the back burner off the back of this. But yeah, there are a few clubs that have been in a perilous financial position. Central Coast Mariners, Newcastle Jets, Perth Glory, even Adelaide United for that matter. And, you know, a few of those clubs we heard a few weeks ago, Tony Sage was obviously trying to offload the club and that fell through after subsequent investigations into the cryptocurrency cat over in the UK, Jim Aylward. Yeah, they're talking about crypto potentially being a decent investment over coming months. I'm not sure that necessarily would have meant that would have been good for Perth Glory in this instance. But look, there's a lot of these clubs who were in a perilous financial or situation. This can't be good for them. There will be cuts across the board in terms of staffing. There will be you know, cuts to salaries with the players. I mean, in excess of 50% of the players are coming out of contract at the end of this season. So, you know, I think the A-League in its current form, there is no way it can continue. I think the A-League will be severely affected, certainly one of the most affected sports in Australia off the back of coronavirus. And, yeah, a lot of these clubs, I mean, considering the decision was only made, what, yesterday, obviously all of these clubs are having, you know, tense discussions and meetings behind the scenes. So, Yeah, it's an unfortunate time for the football industry, for the wider sports industry. But, yeah, football will certainly be hard hit. And you certainly fear for the future of some of these clubs. And, you know, it may really be in coming, you know, weeks and months a chance for the game to recalibrate. But, yeah, certainly a dangerous time for Australian football right now. And obviously, you know, by extension, you've got the national teams with the Socceroos, the Matildas, the youth national teams. They'll be out of action for the foreseeable future. And it's FFA and the individual clubs, you know, they're all scrambling at the moment to obviously see where they can cut costs and start putting plans in place for the future. But that's, you know, difficult, obviously, with the unknown of the international calendars and the domestic fixtures.
So is the private ownership model a disadvantage, do you think, or an advantage?
Well, it's really a case-by-case basis, isn't it? I mean, the clubs, obviously, that have the rich benefactors, you know, Melbourne City owned by the City Football Group, you suspect that they'll, you know, continue to get that backing from Abu Dhabi, a club like Melbourne Victory, which has been, you know, so well run for such a long time and, you know, has a number of, you know, rich businessmen involved who have bankrolled the club for a long time. Anthony Di Pietro, Mario Bison, Joe Mirabella. You know, I think they'll be okay. But, you know, a club like Perth Glory, who's dependent on, you know, who's got the single owner model in Tony Sage, a club like Central Coast, who's, you know, effectively got one owner, a few much smaller shareholders, but, you know, it's going to be a lot more difficult for them. And then obviously, you know, going to the individuals, it depends what, you know, what businesses they're involved in. Obviously, most businesses will be absolutely savaged as a consequence of the coronavirus. But, you know, some will actually, you know, benefit out of this. So it really is an unknown. Look, for the most part, I think the private ownership model, I think across the board globally, there's no doubt that there's been excessive spending in football. I mean, transfer fees have, you know, globally gone, you know, well in excess of $50 and even $100 million in some cases. So there is no doubt that that will, you know, come back and correct itself. I know many players overseas have been asked to take pay cuts. Again, those, you know, discussions are taking place as we speak. But, you know, when you look at the private ownership model, I know Mick Riewoldt was talking about, you know, perhaps this could be a good opportunity for the AFL to move into that, you know, private ownership sphere. Yeah. And referencing the NFL, I mean, you know, a lot of the AFL clubs are obviously, you know, in a really dangerous situation financially at the moment, as are NRL clubs. So, yeah, it's a really difficult one to answer, Dwayne.
Quick one, though, from a listener before you go. We've got the foremost soccer expert in Australia with us, David Davidovic from the Herald Sun. Dave says that soccer in the Olympics is age-related, which it is. What happens to players who might be over the age limit by the time 2021 comes around? They don't get selected.
That's a really good point, actually. And, you know, again, one where that I'm not sure that anyone has actually had a chance to you know, to think about, because this thing is just moving so rapidly, coronavirus. And yeah, so obviously in the men's, it's under 23s. In the women's, it's open age, hence, you know, the Matildas, you know, the full team was going, Sam Kerr, Steph Catley, Lydia Williams, all the stars. But for the men's, it's an under 23 competition. So you would think that, you know, considering these extraordinary circumstances, that they would allow the players who, you know, are of under 23 age now, but wouldn't be next year, they would allow them to play. But again, that's something that, you know, the IOC as well as FIFA and, you know, the individual federations are going to have to, a judgment call they're going to have to make, because potentially there's going to be a lot of players whose, you know, Olympic dream will have been dashed, you know, completely unfairly as a consequence of coronavirus.
Love reading your stuff, David. Look forward to more of it online if you can't buy a Herald Sun. At the newsagent, check it out online. David Davidovic joining me. Thanks for your time, David. We'll talk again soon.
Good on you, Dwayne.
David Davidovic, Herald Sun, chief soccer writer. Someone texting in saying that playing in Nicaragua as well. So there are some countries that are still playing some soccer. Take a break, play a little bit of Hutchie after the break as well, and Matty Cannon to join me in self-isolation. So plenty of fun to come. Stick around. And your calls. John in Bundoora, I'll come to you first. 1300 736 736.